as I can do. Today I will receive the incorruptible, ever living, never changing, Holy Ghost powered Word of God, and I'll be changed in Jesus' name. Now, if you agree, shout amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So, this is part four. Part four of my message, probably, maybe part five. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the title is Where It All Began. And we're kind of summing up, or kind of figuring out how did we run into all these problems that we have today? Where it all started? And how did God fix it? And what is our part to play in it? So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. As we know, the beginning where Adam and Eve sinned, fell short. We all fall short, but they fell from grace. what their sin did. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Excuse me. Everybody good? Genesis chapter 2. Let me know when you're there. Say amen. If you're not, say, oh my. All right, Ramona used to say, oh my, all the time when she was here. Verse 15, let's go back again, where this has kind of been our main text. We've been sticking around in Genesis. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, the Hebrew says that you will die. Actually, the word die there is plural. It says you will die. In other words, in dying, you will die. And let me explain exactly what that means, because we know that in the day that they ate of it, they didn't die. Correct? Adam lived to like 939 years. So he didn't die the day he ate of the tree, but he died spiritually. Something inside of him died. Now, I'm saying that because our whole issue is a spiritual issue. Amen? We died spiritually on the day that Adam and Eve ate. So if we have a spiritual issue, that's why we have hate in this world. That's why we have racism, slavery, all the wars and the perversions and everything like that in this world is a spiritual problem. And you can't solve a spiritual problem by educating people. You can't solve it with education. You can't solve a spiritual problem with money. I can meddle for a minute here. The government likes to throw money at things to fix them. They like to throw our money, take taxpayer money, and try to throw things to fix it. You can't fix spiritual issues with money. You can't fix spiritual issues with drugs. Pharmaceutical drugs. You can't fix spiritual issues with any of those things. You fix spiritual issues with a spiritual thing. And that thing is Jesus. He's the only thing. He's not a thing, but you know what I'm saying. He's the only one who can solve the problem that we have. And let me be clear that the damage that was caused by Adam eating from the tree was so severe, it was so deep, that we still suffer from it 6,000 years later. Adam's disobedience caused so much damage in this world that all you got to do is look outside for 5 minutes. Everybody understand? So, in other words, this is not a light thing. This is not just something that you can sweep under the carpet. This is not something that we can ever ignore. The issue that we're having today is so deep, it's so devastating, it's so damaging, that if you don't confront it with Jesus, if you don't present Jesus, the Son of God, if you don't accept him in your life, you'll never fix the issue you have. Ever. This world will never, ever be fixed without Jesus. That's how bad it was. It's so bad. I'm going to run you through one family, just one family, that has this spiritual issue in their life. And you can take that one issue and you can multiply it to every single generation that's ever lived. Okay? Now, I'm going to use Janice's family. I'll back up a couple of generations to her mother named Dolores. Her mother was given up for adoption when she was young, right? Her and her brother were given up for adoption. Got into a family, alcoholism. Her mother grew up being an alcoholic. Her mother had a one-night stand with the local butcher, who happened to be married and already had four kids. Her mother got pregnant. 6 months later, her mother, now she never tells the man that she's pregnant. So now you understand, now Janice has to grow up not knowing who her father is. Doesn't know her identity. So her mom meets a man named Bill Barbie, a white Irish guy with blonde hair and blue eyes. I say that because you'll understand later. Because her real father was dark hair and black, dark eyes, Italian. Her mother marries the guy, 6 months pregnant. He takes her. He's an army guy. They move to Fort Benning, Georgia. Janice is born in Fort Benning, Georgia. They have two more kids. The father, Bill Barbie, comes home night after night, and Dolores, her mom, is nowhere to be found. She's out drinking, sleeping around, continuing the damage caused by spiritual death, caused by sin. They're left alone in dirty diapers at night. He gets fed up after a couple of years, takes Janice and her two younger sisters, drives up to New Milford, Connecticut, drops the mother off in Pennsylvania where she was from to her family, divorces her, moves in with his family, his sister, and her husband in New Milford, Connecticut. Now, in the process of him going to work, you know, day after day, working nights, because he's got to raise three kids, his sister knows she's not his kid. Her sisters have blonde hair and blue eyes. She has black hair and brown eyes. So his sister now begins to mentally torment her, abuses her emotionally, puts her out in the cemetery in the middle of the night, said, find your way home in darkness, in midnight. Who does that? It's sin. It's a spiritual issue. Who mentally torments a little young girl because she's not his father's kid? She doesn't know. In the process of time, her husband begins to slip into their bedroom every night. I don't have to say anymore. Finally, they get enough courage. She gets enough courage when she's older and tells her dad, Bill Barbie, what the uncle's been doing. Puts a gun to him, takes the girls, moves out. Now she, at 14 years old, becomes the mom and has to take care, house clean, and everything till she's older. She has to take care of two little girls, and her dad. Janice now begins to suffer at 18, 19, panic attacks, anxiety, depression, disconnection, all these damaged products, results that come from abuse, trauma, from emotional, sexual, physical abuse, rejection. Her sisters now begin to repeat the process. Janice in the hospital, trying to recover from this trauma, gives her life to the Lord and literally stops the spiritual attack, the spiritual death that was working in her life. Stops it in its tracks. That stuff can't pass the bloodline, the blood of Jesus. Total recovery. It's a testimony to what only He can do. Only He could do that. The drugs that she was on, the psych ward that she was in, couldn't fix her. Only He, when He was invited into her life, the love of God poured into her heart and changed her. And He does that for everybody. Her sisters repeated the process. Her sisters had abortions. Her sisters gave up their firstborn. Her sisters just kept doing what the mother did and what everybody else did before that. That's one family. There's 8 billion people on the planet, and you multiply that, and that's how damaged we are. We were so damaged that God, nothing could fix us. And God says, okay, the only way I can fix it is create another Adam, a new Adam, because the first Adam is so bad that I have to create a new Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says that Jesus is the second Adam. He's the actually called also the last Adam. And it says whoever believes in Him can change their lives forever. He is a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was so bad that God had to destroy it. But we got so used to it. Listen, some of you are sitting here this morning, you're so used to living in the trauma. You're so used to living this life of hurt, of depression, of abuse, of emotional, of all the damage, that Jesus came to give us a better life, to rip us out of that. Say, no, there's so much more. He says, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. I've come to change all of that, to rip it apart. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand the damage, the works of the devil, what he does? He's no good. And if you give him any place in your life, he will destroy you. So Jesus shows up, the second Adam, the new Adam, the brand new Adam, totally perfect. And the Pharisees, the religious people, do what? They hate his guts. Why? Because he shines bright. We don't like him because he makes us look bad. They try to kill him because of that. But what did Jesus say? He said, you let your light shine. He said, don't let anybody stick you under a bushel. He says, you stand up on a mountaintop and you shine brightly. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Amen. Here's now a new Adam. Brand new. And he says, be like me. God. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You good? I just want to make a case. I know I'm not a lawyer yet, Callie, but I'm trying to make my statement, my case. I'm trying to make a case that I don't care what you're at, what condition. I don't care if you think you got it all, you're good and all that, and a bag of chips. You still need Jesus. Because the damage is so bad. You can't look at cancer and say there's anything good about it. You can't look at sickness and say there's anything good about it. You can't look at divorce and say there's anything good about it. You can't look at racism and say there's anything good about it. I said this 2 weeks ago. Everything man does, there's always a consequence to it. And Janice and I were sitting the other day, I was just laughing myself, LOLing. Was I LOLing? Or raffling? Which one was I doing? There, for the commercial, you know, you can't sleep? Lunesta. A beautiful butterfly flies in your window. Have trouble sleeping? It's such a wonderful commercial. We can fix you. Lunesta. Having trouble sleeping? Stressed out? Tough day at work? Lunesta. Then halfway through, taking this may cause death, serious injuries. Da, da, da. You may never see the light of day. You may never wake up. It really puts you to sleep. You just may never wake up. Children up to under 15, please do not take this because it'll make your head explode. Man does not have a solution. Man can't give you nothing that'll fix you. You want to sleep? Jesus said, I give my children perfect sleep. He says, I never sleep or slumber. You go to bed. I'll take care of things while you're sleeping. Amen. Lunesta. Anyway. Right? I was cracking up. Another drug came out. We're like, I said, watch, here it comes. This drug may cause death. Everything. Always death, cancer, hormonal imbalance. You know, your eyes will pop out. Your ear will grow. Right? We were cracking up. I said, here we go again. New drug, new problems. Romans chapter 5. That's why Jesus said, you go into the world and you lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You need to get it. We need to step up a little bit and say, guys, you don't need Lunesta. Let me lay hands on you. And I know Jesus will heal you. Cancer, don't worry about it. I know. I was talking to Trish yesterday. You know, the effects of radiation. You lose your saliva. My mom lost her saliva. She couldn't eat. She stopped eating. She had to get a feeding tube. Her esophagus was so closed up that she had to pop olive oil just to open it up. She couldn't breathe half the time. That's why she died. Ricky's having issues, right? Radiation. He can't eat certain things. You lose your saliva. Man tried to fix cancer, and what does it do? It caused a whole other problem. But Jesus said, by his stripes, by my stripes, I've healed cancer. But do we believe that? See, we've been sucked down to a lower standard of living that, I'm not saying don't trust doctors. I'm not saying don't take medicine. I'm not saying that. But that our faith now resides in what a man can do rather than a faith resides in what Jesus already did. Why would he die to sickness and disease so that we would live with it? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Ready? You there? Sorry. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You good? All right. Watch this. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sin. That's the damage. You have a kid tomorrow, there's death in that kid's life. I'm not speaking death. I'm just saying the damage is already in them. Mateo, the damage is already in him. So what's our job, our church as a job, our children's ministry, is to give them Jesus to work the damage out. You don't want to get, you don't want someone to walk in here, please just bear with me, at 40 years old, never heard the gospel, full of death and damage, when you can get a kid in children's ministry and at, you know, whatever it is, start preaching the gospel. And then one day they're going to accept Jesus and they won't have to suffer the pains most of us suffered. I was 24 years old till I accepted Christ. 24 years of not knowing anything but the lowest standard of living, of just having death working in me. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Jesus rolls into town. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Everybody good so far? Just give me a little bit more time. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody know the Beatitudes? All right, verse 1. Check this out. Jesus, he strolls into town, the new man, and he says this. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the ones that are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart." Blessed, blessed, blessed. Right? Notice what he says in verse 11. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets." And he goes on and on and on and says, hey, whatever they do to you, just pray for them. Just love them. He comes with a whole new commandment. He says, love one another as I have loved you. I give you a whole new commandment. And the Pharisees are saying, how dare you tell them that? What's wrong with you? Jesus gives us the golden rule. Right? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The Pharisees are like, no, do unto others, then split. We like to take revenge. Jesus says, no, revenge is mine. So he comes with this whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of life. And there, the Pharisees are like, you're messing up our doctrine. You're messing up our church. You're messing up our income. Who do you think you are, Jesus? How dare you come in with this new doctrine? What new doctrine is this guy teaching us? Who is this man who speaks to the waves and the seas obey him? Who is this man that demons run from him? We like demons. We make money on demons. Look at Acts. They made money on a lady who was demon-possessed. She was a psychic. They made money on her. Paul cast them out. What did they do? They wanted to kill him. Why? He affected their income. The world wants you to be sick and depressed and damaged. They make money on it. Jesus said, I've come to set you free. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, set the captives free, those who are maimed to be healed, to walk again, to live again, come back to life again. And instead of the funeral home making money on Lazarus' death, Jesus, come out of there. You charge too much money. Amen. Yes, I'm preaching real good. All right, I'm going to take another offering because that's a really good preaching. Good God. Mark chapter 1. All right, now I'm going to ask all of you to give me some pastoral license freedom for this scripture, okay? Brian, don't get me on this one. It all depends. Mark chapter 1. Don't come at me, Brian, because I will left hook you. Mark chapter 1. Give me some license on this scripture for a second. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Kind of the very first things Jesus says publicly, kind of. Okay, he gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. He comes out, and one of the things, the first things that he's now saying, ready? Verse 15, he's saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So I'm asking you to give me some grace on the word repent. The word repent, every time I say it, what is the first thing you think about? Your sins. Well, not yet. When I say repent, everybody thinks it's about sin, correct? Yes, it's connected to sin, but I want you not to think about it right now. Because the Greek word literally says, think differently. It's two words, metanoi. That's the word repent. It doesn't mean to turn around. It literally it means to think differently. Got it? So that's what Jesus is saying. He said, I've come with the kingdom of God, and I want you to think differently than you thought before and believe what I'm telling you. What? So let me just stay away from sin for a minute. I want you to think differently. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, it says that you're healed and not sick. There's healing for you. In the kingdom of God, it says, if you give, I'll give back unto you. Think differently. In the kingdom of God, it says, if you believe me, you shall be saved. Before, it was, if you do all these works, follow the law, you shall be saved. Now Jesus says, I want you to think differently. Stop doing those works and believe in me, and you shall be saved. He says, I've come for you to think differently. Jesus is in the boat, and they're afraid. Jesus, we're sinking, we're dying, don't you care? And he says, think differently. Seas and wind, you cease right now. And you're like, oh, how do you do that? And what'd he say to them? He said, you faithless, perverse generation, how long do I have to be with you until you start thinking differently? He says, the kingdom of God is here. Think differently. He gave them a prayer. Matthew 6, 9, the Lord's Prayer. He says, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. Matthew 16, he says, whatever you bind in heaven, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Think differently. He says, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Think differently. He says, you can take up Satan's serpents and scorpions and things, and they won't harm you. What does that mean? Think differently. Brother, sister, Christian, it's time to think differently. In other words, you are a holy generation. You are a royal priesthood. You don't have to sin. It says you don't have authority. The sin's authority over you has been destroyed. You can live differently if you think differently. I'm not preaching mind over matter. I'm not preaching Napoleon Hill mind stuff. I'm preaching gospel. Jesus came and showed us how to live differently. And he says, do the same thing. Think differently. He taught his disciples for 3 years how to think differently. Come on, preacher. That's good preaching right there. Yes, in other words, you don't have to be depressed anymore. You don't have to be broke anymore. You don't have to live without hope anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to go around trying to find somebody to love you anymore when he loves you. Come on. Think differently. And then he says this, Paul says this, he's get rid of the old man. Put off the old man. How many times he says it? Over and over. He says, put off the old man. Stop sinning. He says, put on the new man that was made in righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. What old things? The old man. The old man. He's gone. He's gone. You need to wake up every morning and says, that old man is dead. I'm thinking differently. I'm living differently starting right now. I'm not going to be the same. I'm not to give in to these things anymore. Oh, praise the Lord. Philippians 2. Watch this. I'm not finished. Philippians 2. Yes, you still need to repent of your sin. But Jesus never mentioned sin right there. And that word means think differently. But you still got to repent of your sin. Different sermon. Philippians 2. Watch this. Philippians 2. Ready? Watch what Paul says. Verse 5. You there? Say amen. Say I'm quick. I'm sharp. My spirit is alive. You missed a good time to make a good confession. All right. Look at this. Verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's talking about thinking differently, isn't he? He says, guys, I need you to start thinking differently. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery or to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God highly exalted him. In other words, he's saying this is, yeah, you may be a man, just a man, but you got the Spirit of God inside of you. Start thinking differently. You got God inside you. God, the greater one, is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Paul says, start thinking differently. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. In other words, he knew he was God. He had God in him. He was God, but he didn't act that way because he just knew who he was. He walked in authority. He didn't go around saying, I'm the Son of God. Don't you dare touch me. No, he just walked in that authority in obedience to God, humbling himself to God. We need to walk humbly before him, surrender our lives to him. He'll fix everything for us. Stop trying to fix everything in your life and everybody else's life. Let him fix it. Genesis 3:13. I'm almost done. Genesis 3:13. This is important. Genesis 3:13. So are you guys good? All right. Genesis 3:13. I respect your time. I know it's you guys need to do some whatever you need to do. And we're going to pray for Trish and Kevin and Callie. Genesis 3:13, but I have to do this. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. God confronts Eve and says, why did you do that? Watch what she says. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So I looked up the Hebrew word for deceive, and it means this. Literally, it means to mentally delude. To mentally delude. To hoodwink. Ready? To make one forget. What? He made her forget. He messed with her mind. He made her think differently than she was created to think.
Wow. Amen.
Notice this. Listen. Notice this. God made Adam and Eve in his image and his likeness, and he made them as much as God without being God. Right? Right? Just like him. Made them God over the world. He says, you're as much God as you, without being God. Gave him dominion and authority over all the earth. And then he says, just don't do one thing. And then Satan shows up and he says, oh, did God really say that? Actually, he's hiding something from you. He says, you can be like God. You're not like God. He says, you're not like God, but you can be like God. And now she says here, he made me forget that I was already like God. Hold on. He made me forget I was already made in the image and likeness of God. He mentally deluded me. In other words, ready? Write this down. He messed with her identity. He messed with her identity. She now has an identity issue. I don't know who I am. Maybe I'm not made in the image and likeness of God. Maybe he's right. Maybe Satan's right. Maybe God is hiding this from me. Maybe I'm not a man. Maybe I'm a girl. Maybe I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. Maybe I'm just nothing. Call me a letter, non-binary. Maybe I'm nothing. That's Satan mentally deluding our children. Listen, I was once a man trapped in a woman's body, and then she gave birth to me. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I had to cut the ice somewhere because you guys were like really serious. You're like, oh my God, that's really... He messed with her identity. That's why all over the New Testament, Paul says, let this mind be in you. Start to think, identify yourself differently. You're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Stop thinking that way. Renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can do these things. You can move in the Spirit. You can preach the gospel all over the world. You can be like Jesus without being Jesus. Because he put God inside of you. You don't have to be poor, broken, depressed anymore. Two weeks ago, I went to vote. And I went up to the thing, and I said, the lady said, who are you? I says, I'm right there. Artie Casimis, right there. She goes, I need some ID. I said, I am the ID. Has anybody walked in here saying they were me? She goes, sir, I need some identification. I said, that's me. I guarantee you, I give you my word, that's me. She goes, sir, you know, I'm messing with her because it's a Bible lesson in my head. So I had to pull out my wallet. I had to get some formal government identification to prove who I was. I said, there. Says, you could have done that at the very beginning. I says, you just didn't want to believe me, lady. So whenever Satan comes to mess with your head and tell you you're no good, you're going nowhere, you're going to always be sick and depressed and poor, you need to pull out some ID. Satan, I know who I am. This is my legal document that says who I am in Christ. He gave his life for me. He changed me. He washed my sins away. I am no longer that old man anymore. You shut your mouth, because here, you don't have to believe my word. How about his word? When Jesus was confronted with Satan and said, you know, if you really are the Son of God, and he says, let me tell you, Satan, it is written. He says, here is my legal identification. I know who I am. God wants you to make sure you know who you are. Amen? You are everything in Christ. Stand at your feet. Well, no, stand at your feet, please. Yes, please stand at your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you know who you are in Christ? How many of you are going to start changing the way you think from this point on? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, repent. Repent. Are you hearing me? Repent. Right now, just repent. Change your thinking. Totally. Think differently. I'm going to repent and start thinking the way this tells me to think. I am who this tells me I am. You drive around Norwalk and there's a lot of Greeks, right? What are you laughing at? Who's laughing? I could tell somebody who identifies as a Greek because they've got their Greek flag hanging in their little window. You know, they got the chest hairs open up and they're playing bouzouki music and they have tzatziki rolling down there. In other words, that guy that I just saw driving by could tell he's Greek because he totally, totally identifies as a Greek in every way. In his thinking, in his eating, in his living, and what he hears. So when I drive down West Avenue, I'm going to identify as a Christian. I'm going to have K-Love blasting. I'm going to be singing praises. I'm going to have a cross maybe hanging in my car. And I'm going to have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. No, don't do that. In other words, if you identify with Christ, everything needs to change about you. Because the one you identify with the most is what comes out of you. My identity is not Greek. My identity, even though I'm 100% pure-blooded Greek, you'll never know it if you look at me. I want people, when they look at me, they want my identity is Christian. Because that's where I'm pulling from. Amen? Trish and Kevin, come on up here. Callie, you want to join them? Sure, come on up here. So listen, you know, we...